We have something. Anybody need a handout, just lift your hand up. But we have something in our church. I don't know if you're aware of this, but we have something in our church that is absolutely priceless. It's a tangible object, so I'm not talking about, you know, forgiveness of our sins or something like that. It's intangible, but this is tangible. And we have something that's absolutely priceless. It's of more value than the padded pews, the chandeliers, the beautiful woodwork in this beautiful building. It is so valuable. This thing that our church has is so valuable, you can't even put a price tag on it. And no matter how bad of shape that we were in financially as a church, we would never give this commodity up. We would never give it up. You say, what in the world are you talking about? I'm talking about the children of this church. What a precious commodity they indeed are. You say, Pastor Dan, tell me, Pastor Dan, what's the future of our church? What's the future of our church? What's our church's future plans and dreams and goals and aspirations? And you know, if you were to ask me that statement, I would not take you to our bank statements, and I would not take you to some blueprints somewhere. I would walk you over to our children's classes, and I would point inside, and I would say, there is the future of Crossroads. Sometimes I think we fail to realize how important that the children and then the youth are in this church. We grossly underestimate their importance. They are our hope for our future growth and for the vitality of this church. A person may say, well, but they're just a bunch of kids. You know what? That's what they said about David when the giant Goliath came out and was threatening God's people. And David said, well, wait a minute. What, is there not a cause? Won't somebody go fight this giant? He's blaspheming our God. And when David said, I'll go fight him, the answer that he got was, thou art but a youth. Thou art but a youth. You're just a kid, David. You can't go fight that giant. But let me remind you that before the chapter was over, that youth had done what no man could do. He had gone out and whooped up on the giant Goliath. Here in our text is another example. Samuel is one of the greatest men of God in the Bible. We know that. But where did it all start? Look at chapter 2, 1 Samuel 2, verse 18. Here's where it all started. It says, but Samuel ministered before the Lord. And then what does that next phrase say? Being a child. Being a child. Being a child. Look at chapter 3 and look at verse 1. It says, And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the child, let me read that again. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. Eli was the high priest of Israel. He's the top dude, if you will. And Samuel is there serving the Lord, and God is working in his life when he is a child. If Crossroads is to continue for years to come, I'm talking about when I'm gone. Let's fast forward in our minds to the year 2050. Where will we be? In 2050. Somebody said, not here. One of our seniors, I think, said, not here. Well, I don't know if I will be either. 2050, how old would I be? I'd be old, wouldn't I? Yeah. And so let's fast forward. 2050, is Crossroads in 2050, are we still going to be reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are we still going to be taking a stand for the word of God rightly divided? Are we going to continue impacting the world through missions? Are we going to continue to be spiritually healthy? Is Crossroads going to be a lighthouse for God here in Daytona Beach in the year 2050? You say, well, I don't know. How can we make sure that we'll still be a lighthouse? We've got to reach children with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's our future. They will be here. Most of us won't. But they'll be here in 2050. The kids next door right now that are in their classes, and the kids that'll be in junior church, and the kids that are in Awana tonight, they'll be here in 2050. Do y'all see how that's our future? Do you see how important it is to reach children with the gospel of Jesus Christ? I want to look at Samuel. He's a child. And I want us to look at three powerful reasons why we need to be actively engaged in children's ministry. Why we need to be out there with the bus, and we need to be picking up boys and girls on that bus, that new bus, I hope, you know, that we're able to get. And we need to be picking up boys and girls, reaching them with the gospel, teaching and discipling the children here in our church that are here now. Why? Number one in your handout. Number one. Because children can be greatly used by God. Do y'all believe that? Say amen. Amen. Children can be greatly used by God. I told you about David. He's but a youth, but he went out and whooped up on Goliath. Well, look at chapter 2 and notice again verse 18. It says, and Samuel ministered before the Lord being a child. Now, let me explain. As a child, Samuel began serving the Lord in the tabernacle. He was Eli the priest, right-hand man. But he was only a child. Now listen, he was not Eli's son. You remember the story back in chapter 1, how that his mother Hannah prayed she could have a son, and when the child was weaned and was old enough, she was going to take him to the temple and let him serve the Lord there and assist Eli. And so Samuel is Eli's right-hand man, but he's a child. Did you know that children and teenagers make wonderful workers for God? Have you ever noticed how children love to help? Have you ever noticed how children love to help? You say, Pastor Dan, you don't know my kids. But no, you know what I mean. Kids, when they're little, now I know when they get older, it's a little bit more of a challenge, but when they're little, they love to help. I remember as a boy, growing up in Missouri, we had all these trees in the backyard and they drop hickory nuts. And before my dad could mow, and I was, you know, too young at the time to be able to mow, but he'd say, son, could you go out and pick up hickory nuts for dad so I can mow the backyard? And I'd get my bucket and I'd go out and I'd pick up them hickory nuts. And man, I was so happy to be helping dad. I remember as a boy going out and helping my dad paint the picket fence next to our house. And I remember as a child going out and helping him. Oh my, the leaves. How many of you have ever raked leaves? Oh mercy. We had so many leaves. And me and dad would get out there and we'd rake them leaves and I'd help him. And man, there'd be a big old pile. I'd make tunnels through the leaves. You ever do that? And man, I had fun playing in those leaves before we burned them. That was the days when you could just go out to the street and burn them, you know. And man, that was fun. How many of y'all ever did this? I remember as a boy helping my dad shovel snow. Boy, that is a terrible memory. Man, I don't miss those days. But boy, I was glad to help my dad. Glad to help my dad. I remember that when Denise and I, one time we were up in Palm Coast and I was doing a banquet for a friend of mine named Greg Peters, and I was doing a banquet for him, and Clayton was about 3 and Caleb was not even a year old at the time. He was about 10, probably 10, 11 months old. And we were doing this banquet and they had a room for the kids to play. And man, it was wild in there. It was crazy. But we handed Caleb to one of the nursery workers. And we asked Clayton, he's about 3 years old. We said, Clayton, do you want to stay and play with the toys? Clayton said, no. And he clung to Denise and he held on to her leg. And in a few seconds, Denise, she knelt down with Caleb's little baby bag. And she knelt down and She said, Clayton, she said, will you hold Caleb's bag for him? And will you watch out for Caleb for me? And Clayton looked up at her as a three-year-old who didn't want to stay at all. And he went, I'll stay. I'll stay, Mama. And he stayed and he watched out for his little baby brother. And he's still watching out for him today. Amen, Caleb? Caleb's like, no. Well, Clayton isn't here. I didn't think you were in here. But but yeah, he wanted to help. Once he knew he was helping, he was willing to. Kids love to help. And you know, in your handout, it says, children make great workers because nothing is beneath them. Now, I'm talking about when they're young. All right. I know when they get to be teenagers, it changes a little bit. But when they're young, nothing's beneath them. Go over to chapter 3. Let me show you what Samuel did. Look at chapter 3 and look at verse 15. It says, and Samuel lay until the morning. And notice what his job was. He opened what? He opened the doors of the house of the Lord. Part of Samuel's job, one of his jobs as a child, was his job was to open all the doors. Now, that's not a real high profile, fancy job. But man, he was glad to do it. He didn't care. He's like, man, I got a job to do. You know, this morning I was coming into the office building about 7 o'clock. Pastor Rich was already here with Elijah, his little boy, Elijah. And I was walking up to the office building, about to get my keys out, go inside. And poof, all of a sudden the door opened up right in front of me. And it was Elijah opening the door for me. And I looked at him and I said, well, boy, you make a good doorman. And he just smiled. I said, you remind me of Samuel. He went, huh? Who's Samuel? You know, well, I knew I was preaching this today. It was fresh on my mind, you know. And I said, you make a good doorman. You're like Samuel. And, you know, he didn't get it, you know. But yeah, he's happy to do it. You know, Elijah opened the door for me. That's how kids are. You know, nothing's beneath them. Now, dealing with adults can be a little bit more difficult. You know, adults start, when you ask them to do something, they got to pray about it. Right? Kids just say, yeah, sure. Adults got to pray about it. Amen, Brother Clint? Clint says, will you help me out in junior church? I'll pray about that, Brother Clint. 2 years later, they're still praying about it. Amen? You know? Will you help mop floors after walk through Bethlehem? I'll pray about it. You know? Kids just like, yeah, give me a mop, whatever. You know, I want to help. Yeah, I'll pick up trash in the church. Yeah. You know, kids are happy, but adults are a little more difficult. You know, what's in it for me? How much recognition will I get? Am I going to enjoy this ministry? Is it going to fulfill me? Kids just want to help, you know. I remember as a teenager learning to serve the Lord. I told you I wasn't raised in a Christian home, but my brother got saved, and then he led me to the Lord, and I was a teenager, and I wanted to serve God. And man, I didn't care what it was. I just love Jesus. Just give me a job to do. He said, Dan, we go out and we got 4 or 5 buses that pick up kids and you can help me on my bus. I said, okay. So I went out with my brother and he said, now your job is to hand out the treats. Oh, wow, I get to hand the treats out. Wow. And so he'd give me the treats, you know, Twinkies, cupcakes, whatever it was, you know, and I'd hand out the treats. And let me tell you something, as a teenager, I wanted to be the best treater, hander, outer there ever was. I was took it serious. And I remember during the week, I would go and I would sweep out all the buses of all the trash and debris and the dirt. I'd sweep out all the buses. And I can remember just singing and humming and just being so happy to sweep the buses out. You see, children make great workers for God because nothing's beneath them. But number two there, I don't know, it's not actually number two, but the next statement in your handout says children also make great workers for God because they tend to be much more honest than adults. You know, over in chapter 3, if you turn over, I think you're already there, but if you go to chapter 3, God had some pretty sobering news about Eli that involved Eli's sons. about judgment that was going to come on Eli because of wickedness in his sons. Well, he revealed it to Samuel. And Eli said to Samuel, I want you to tell me what the Lord told you. Now you understand, this was not good news for Eli to hear. In fact, it would break his heart. But he told the child Samuel, I want you to tell me what God has revealed to you, Samuel, and I want you to tell me the truth. Look at verse 18. It says in chapter 3, verse 18, and Samuel told him every whit and hid nothing from him. And then Eli said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. You see, children are very transparent. They're very honest. With kids, you don't get phony facades. You don't have to wonder what they're thinking. You don't have to wonder what kids are thinking. You know? By the way, just a little advice. Don't ever say or do anything around your kids you don't want repeated. You know what I mean? I mean, Clint could tell you, he could write a book already. He's only 24. You know, kids will come into junior church. My mommy and daddy fought all the way to church today. They were fighting and yelling really loud. Really, really loud. It hurt my ears. I worked with children for years, and I remember thinking, boy, if their parents only knew what these kids were saying, you know. They're open. They're honest. They're transparent. They got nothing to hide. They're just sincere. They just love to help. They'll do anything you ask them to do. These are the reasons why kids make great workers for God. But I will say, kids do need to be raised up in that environment. Kids need to be taught how to serve God. Samuel was raised up around God's house. Samuel, he grew up serving God. You know, one of the greatest things you can do for your kids is teach them how to serve God. Serve God as a family. Let your kids see you serving God. Oh, it's one of the greatest things you can ever do for your kids. On the other hand, Eli's sons were obviously not taught how to serve God. Go to chapter 2 again. Flip back there. And Eli's own flesh and blood boys were characters. Look at verse 12. Chapter 2, verse 12. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. You know what these guys did? Eli's sons lied, stole from people, exploited women, and worshiped false gods. And they ended up losing their lives at an early age because of their foolishness, because of their sin, because of their wickedness. They lost their lives at a young age. This thing of reaching children with the gospel, it's a matter of life and death. You got to reach them when they're young. Man, I tell you, these grown boys of Eli, wicked. You got to reach them when they're young. They make such great workers for God. Let me tell you something right now. It would be hard to pull off walk through Bethlehem without all the children and the teenagers helping in that ministry. They just got a heart to help. We need helpers that walk through Bethlehem. Teenagers, sure, I'll help. Kids, yeah, I'll help. What do you need me to do? You know? And so, like I said, sometimes with adults, it's like pulling teeth, you know? But kids and teenagers are just like, yeah, what can I do to help? It's awesome. See, we got to reach children. We got to invest in our kids. Why? They make great workers for God. You know, a few minutes ago, you know, you saw up on the platform, Clint here leading the singing, and you saw Caleb Rich over here playing the guitar, and you saw Adam Rich over here on the piano, and you saw Clayton over here on the bass guitar, and you saw several teenagers up here on the platform singing in the choir. Let me tell you something, that doesn't come by accident. Kids have to be taught how to serve God at a young age. They have to be taught how to serve the Lord. It's exciting. Isn't it exciting to see young people serving God? You know, it is. It's just exciting. It's like, wow, that's our future. You know, that's our future. Number two, the second reason why we need to reach children is number two, if you turn your handout over, it says because children are very special to God. Children are very special to God. Go to chapter 2, back to chapter 2 now, and look at verse 26. Interesting verse. Says, verse 26, and the child Samuel grew on And notice, he was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. So obviously, God did not overlook this child. God did not deem him unimportant. He was very dear to the heart of God. Go to your handout and look at Mark 10. It says, and they brought young children to him, to Jesus, that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer, allow the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And I love this. It says he took them up in his arms. Jesus took these little children up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. I mean, you can't read that and not see how special and how close children are to the heart of Jesus. Jesus is right in the middle of a deep doctrinal dissertation about marriage and divorce there in Mark chapter 10. And he's interrupted by these young children. The disciples rebuked them and they're like, you know, get them out of here. Can't you see Jesus is busy? He doesn't have time for a bunch of kids. And verse 14 says, Jesus was much displeased. You know what that means? If you look it up, it means he was moved with indignation. In other words, let me put it in just real plain language, he was flat out hopping mad. And Matthew gives the account of it, and you know what Matthew says? He says Jesus rebuked the disciples. So the disciples think they're doing a good thing, saying, get these children out of here. Get these children away. Can't you see that the master's busy? You know, get these kids out of here. He can't be bothered with these children. And they're trying to shoo them off. And the Bible says Jesus rebuked the disciples. And then he picked up the children in his arms. And he blessed them. How many of y'all ever heard the expression, any friend of yours is a friend of mine? Yeah. I'm so blessed today. This weekend, we've got our good friends, the Turners here from Sarasota. And John Turner served the Lord here for years. And he's one of my best friends in the world. We've been friends for over 20 years. And we remain close. They moved away for his job to Sarasota. And you know, John's such a good friend that I would say, hey, any friend of John Turner's is a friend of mine. And there's two different times in your Bible when Jesus basically says, if you're a friend of little children, you're a friend of mine. If you're a friend of little children, you're a friend of mine. We have to reach kids with the gospel. Why? Because they're very special to God. Number three, last point is this. Number three, we have to reach children with the gospel. Because number three, children are more apt to listen to God. Children are more apt to listen to God. Now go over to chapter 3. And I'm going to paraphrase a little bit of this. Let me read a little bit. Go to chapter 3. Let me show you what happens with Samuel. Verse 3. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. Now remember, verse 1 called him, he's still a child. Verse 1 said, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord. So he's still a child. All right? So he lays down to sleep. Verse 4. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I call not, lie down again. And he went and lay down. Now look, folks, look up here. Samuel's sound asleep as a kid. And the Lord calls him. And Samuel thought it was Eli. And so Samuel goes running into Eli. And he goes, here I am. What do you want? Eli, what are you doing? I sound asleep, Samuel. Well, you call me. What do you want? I didn't call you. Go back to sleep. Goes back in. He lays down. The Lord calls him. Here am I. Here am I. Here am I. Wake up, Eli. I'm here. I didn't call you. Go to sleep. So he goes back in. He lays down. Happens a third time. He goes running back in. Eli knows now something's up. He knows something's up. Eli, he didn't just fall off the turnip truck. So Eli knows there's something going on. So he says, next time you hear that, son, I want you to say, speak, for thy servant heareth. Eli knew it was the Lord calling him. So, happens a fourth time. And Samuel said, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." Samuel was a child. And he was so ready to listen to God and do whatever God said to do. Now compare that to Jonah. Jonah's a full-grown man, a prophet of God. And God calls him to a special task. And what does he do? He argues with God and runs the other way. Had to take a detour, didn't he? Three nights in the Wells Belly Hotel. Amen. I don't know about you. One night would have been enough for me to repent. He's so hard-headed. Took him three nights. I think after the first night of that, I'd have been like, "Wherever you want me to go, God, I'll go." But you see, that's what you get with adults. Jonah knew better than God. Then people in Nineveh won't repent. They don't even deserve your grace or your mercy. He was prejudiced against them. He didn't want to go preach to them. He really didn't even want to see them repent. In fact, when they repented, he was mad they repented. You see, that's what happens with adults. They get full of prejudice. They get full of bitterness. You know, adults many times argue with God about stuff. But in your handout, it says children are much more tender towards God. Children are so much more tender towards God. And then it says in your handout, they've not had years of being hardened by sin. They don't have all the prejudices to overcome like adults do. You tell a kid the story of Jesus and salvation, and they don't argue with you. They don't want to hold on to their sin. You tell a kid about Jesus, and Clint, I don't think I've ever had a child that I've witnessed to and shared Christ with that said to me, "I'll think about it for a few weeks." I don't think I've ever had a kid do that. They're happy that Jesus died for their sin. They're happy they can go to heaven. They're happy their sins can be forgiven. They're happy that they can have peace with God. And they simply by faith believe the gospel message. Remember, friend, Jesus did not say that children have to become like adults to be converted. He said that an adult must become like a little child if they want to be saved. Children are our example in how to be saved. In your handout, it says every year that goes by and a child is not reached, it becomes more difficult. Every year that goes by, it becomes more difficult. Children experience more sin, and the more they practice sin, the stronger the power of sin becomes in their lives, and they become harder and harder and harder. We have to reach them when they're tender. Like Samuel here in our text. And I understand that on Sunday morning, the attention's here. And we think this is really what's important, what's going on up here. And we think what's really important is what's going on in them adult life groups. And I'm not minimizing it. And I'm not saying it's not important. It is important. But if we could only somehow see it through the eyes of God, I think that we would realize that God from heaven is looking down. And He's real, real interested in who's getting on that bus. And who's sitting over in a kid's class. And who's in Awana. In Matthew 18:14, in your handout, "Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." God wants to reach children with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I've told this story before, but I love it so much. Anytime I talk about this subject, I have to give this quote. They were asking the great evangelist, D.L. Moody, "How many converts did you have last night in your meeting?" And D.L. Moody said, 2.5. "I had 2.5 converts." And they looked and they were like, "What? You mean you had 2 adults and 1 child?" He said, "Oh no, I had 2 children and 1 adult." He said, "Because a child converted is an entire life converted." See, an adult, a lot of their life's gone. Child has their whole life in front of them. We've got to reach children with the gospel. I wonder, what are you doing to help reach children with the gospel? You say, well, Pastor Dan, how can I help? You can pray. You know, I know Clint and all the wonderful workers we have here with our children, they would really appreciate your prayers for our children's ministry. Pastor Rob would appreciate your prayers for our youth ministry. If you're an adult and your kids are kind of grown and gone, or maybe you're a widow or a widower, maybe you're a single adult, why don't you pick out a family? You don't even have to tell them you're doing it. Pick out a family or two in the church that you know have children that are still growing up, and why don't you say privately to yourself, I'm going to be their prayer warrior. I'm going to pray for that family's kids. My kids are grown and gone. Or maybe I didn't have any kids, you know? Or maybe I'm by myself now. But you know what? I'm going to pray for a couple of families in the church that I know have the difficult task of raising children to love God and to serve God. And I'm going to be their prayer warrior. And you may want to tell them that. You may not. But all I'm saying is there's things you can do. You can pray. You can train your own children and grandchildren to love the Lord. You could serve in one of our children's ministries. You say, oh, I'm too old for that. Clint, are they ever too old? No. No, they're never too old. We've had people in our church in their 90s serving in children's ministry. Why? They love children. Well, you know, you can't be more like Jesus than to love children. I think about, you know, our Christmas offering this year. It's going to go to help the kids. Be honest with you. It's not going to help us adults. Not really. It's mainly going to help the kids. You say, well, I just don't know if we ought to give a Christmas offering just to help a bunch of kids. If you can say that after this message, then you slept through my message, didn't you? You see, children make the best workers for God. Children and youth. You wouldn't believe all that our kids and teenagers do in this church. If I told you, it'd blow your mind. We learned today that children are very special to God. We learned that children are more apt to listen to God than an adult. You see, here's my point. It says in your handout, what are you doing to help reach children with the gospel? And then it says at the bottom of your handout, you could not do anything nearer and dearer to the heart of God than when you're ministering to children. You could not do anything nearer and dearer to the heart of God.